welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Second hour now upon us. It's Saturday evening, October 1st. I'm your host, James Edwards. We're coming to you live tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations that carry us, and of course, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Eddie the Bombardier Miller just walked into the studio an hour early. I talked to Eddie earlier today, and I said, Eddie, I need you to come on for the third hour, so why don't you plan on getting to the studio about 7:30. Here at 7 o'clock, a full hour before a scheduled appearance, the Pappy is here, and it's good to have you here. Now, I'll let you say hello to everybody, Ed, and then we're going to put you back on ice. You can go back to the green room for an hour and watch TV.
Well, it's good to hear, see all my fans are out there in radio land, you know. I'll take over from James right now. I'm sure y'all are tired of him. Yeah, we got a full show planned for you folks tonight. I don't know if James is going to let me do this trick. I'm going to let y'all listen to a sound, and if you can guess the model and the make of the device that's making this sound, James, at my old suggestions, is going to give you a free book of racism.
That's right. Eddie went and got a Happy Meal on the way down, and he's got a toy that he's excited about, and he wants to see if you can figure out what kind of toy it is. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let me remind the audience out there what we're going to be talking about a little later on in the show tonight. And since Eddie's here, Eddie, were you listening to the show while you drove in tonight?
Oh,
now, come on.
AM 16.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I hear. How about 1380?
It wouldn't
pick him at all. 1380. I'll tell you what. So, and so let me just tell you what we're going to be talking about, and then we'll talk about the other. Lots of stuff to talk about. I don't know if we're going to be able to cover it all, but we're going to try. Bass Pro Shop has been sued for racial discrimination. We're going to talk about that. Even though Eddie has a Ron Paul bumper sticker on the back of his truck, we can't talk about that because we talked about Ron Paul for an hour. Morgan Freeman, your favorite actor.
Yes, my favorite.
He's my cousin. Eddie's cousin, actually. God has spoken, and he says the Tea Party is racist. The Tea Party is racist. We haven't heard that before. Even though the Tea Party voted Herman Cain the winner. Herman Cain, the pizza man, the winner of the Florida straw poll. And some of the stuff Kane says is okay, but let's be real. I mean, the reason that he got the votes in the straw poll were because people didn't want to be called racist, so they voted for the black guy. And this very same weekend they did that, Morgan Freeman says, well, everybody that voted for Herman Cain is a racist too. So, and Winston Smith wrote a very good article, "Is Morgan Freeman the Soul of Morality?" We will talk about that. What else? Toilet paper. Did you know toilet paper is a symbol of hate now? It's kind of like a swastika. Toilet paper. Eddie's glad I brought that up, but he's not going to tell me why because it's not quite Eddie's time yet.
Well, let me just chime in this one thing.
All right. Toilet paper is a hate symbol. You bet you didn't know that.
Hey, I have a very good friend I've known since childhood. Well, we'll just call him the guru of North Alabama because he doesn't like me to throw his name out a little bit. He's not quite as gutsy as I am, or as quite as forward, but he tells me that in the very near future, and this is an interesting fact, may not have anything to do with this, but folks, if you have any money, you might want to go out and get all the toilet paper you can get because supposedly in the near future there's going to be a big toilet paper shortage. And tell you what, you can just imagine how much would you folks pay for toilet paper? I mean, we never think of anything like that. But I've always thought toilet paper was racist myself, James.
Well, as normal, you're ahead of the curve, Ed, because it is. A diversity expert in the United Kingdom has said it is very racist. And white paper is, too. Not just toilet paper, but white paper like kids use in school. It's terrible.
Well, I know.
We're going to get... We need to use black toilet paper. So we'll talk about that. We're spending so much time tonight talking about what we're going to talk about instead of actually talking about it that the audience is probably thinking I'm losing my mind. But I promise you, folks, we're building it up. Black Panther, they are definitely not racists.
No,
Black
no,
Panthers no. are not racist at all. That's great political activism. Well, anyway, a Black Panther at a school up in, I want to say it was Illinois, somewhere up there, threatened a white student. He was there passing out copy. It was Constitution Day. People probably didn't know there is such a day here in this country. But Constitution Day, there was a white student passing out copies, free copies of the Constitution. Well, that really set off this Black Panther, and he said he was going to, you know, shoot the guy if he kept that up. So, no hate crimes charges, no investigations. In fact, I can't play another video tonight. This one's even longer than the Ron Paul one. We played a Ron Paul video in the first hour. The one of the administrators of the school, one of the principals, I say principal, it was college, so I guess it was a dean or something, but she came over and she asked the kid, she saw he was passing out copies of the Constitution. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. This is why the political cesspool exists, to address stories like this. She saw he was passing out copies of the Constitution, that he was engaged in what, you know, obviously wasn't a friendly conversation with this Black Panther who said he was going to shoot him if he didn't cut it out. And who do you think she got onto? Do you think she got onto the Black Panther who came over there and started? She asked the guy passing out copies of the Constitution if he was a white supremacist. Folks, I can't say I wouldn't believe it for myself, because I've been doing this for 7 years and this is such par for the course, but we've got video documentation at thepoliticalcesspool.org if you don't believe me. We'll be talking about this with His Royal Highness Eddie the Bombardier Miller a little later on in the show this evening. I promise you, we're going to cover all of that before the time runs out tonight. A little later on this hour, you're going to hear from Richard Spencer. We're going to be talking about our great conference in Washington. And coming up next, after this commercial break that is right upon us, you're going to hear from a very good friend of mine. I'm going to save his introduction to when we come back. A man who's without whose assistance, the political cesspool certainly wouldn't be here. And you might not even know who he is and how valuable he is to this show. He is going to be speaking at another very prestigious gathering, one that I did not get an invitation to, and one I'm a little bit jealous that I'm not going to be able to go to. Eddie forgot to send me one, he said. It's going to be taking place up in Idaho next week. And this mystery guest, this all-powerful guest that is going to be coming on next, he's going to tell you all about that and more, and I look forward to introducing to you formally as a guest on the Political Cesspool. As we continue, Eddie is still chiming in, even though it's certainly not his time, but he wanted me to mention that Idaho is a great duck hunting state. So, elk hunting. Maybe there's some duck there too, right? There's probably some duck, but elk hunting. Have you ever gone elk hunting in Idaho, Eddie? He went in Montana. Well, that's on the border. Right on the border, so it's, you know.
Within 50 miles of it, probably.
One's just as good as the other. Yep. Oh, another thing, when Richard comes on, we're going to find out what an American Juggalo is. You've heard of the movie American Gigolo.
Yeah.
American Juggalo. It's just, well, Eddie asked, you know, what it is. Well, we've got video of Eddie. You see him there. Wow. Richard Spencer over to Alternative Right has a continuing series entitled So This Is How It Ends, which chronicles instances of decadence so advanced that one can only conclude in hope that we're living in a terminal stage of Western civilization. This week's entry is about the American Juggalo. We'll talk to Richard about it later this hour. It's all coming your way right after this break. Stay tuned.
More Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I want to welcome our first guest on the radio show tonight. He is a radio host himself, and a good friend of mine for the over the course of the past 3 years. Folks, I get a lot of emails saying, oh my, I can't believe you've been at this for 7 years. Well, Sam Bushman has been at it seven plus seven, and then a little bit more than that, hosting his excellent radio broadcast, the Liberty Roundtable, and much more than that. Sam Bushman is the owner of the network that syndicates the political cesspool. So it's no exaggeration to say, without the friendship and support of Sam Bushman, there would be No James Edwards, at least in terms of syndication, and that's the way many of you came to know this radio program. So I want to thank him for that and welcome him to the program. Sam, it's great to have you on for the first time.
Hi, James. Delighted to be alongside for the ride, sir.
Can't believe as long as we've known each other, we haven't had you on the show before. It just never dawned on me until, you know, you were board hopping for us tonight there at the network in Utah, and I was like, well, my goodness, we've got to have you on. You were good enough to have me on when the book came out, so this is a delayed reciprocation.
Amen, sir. We sure appreciate it. There's going to be an event happening on October the 7th and the 8th in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And by the way, it is great elk country and deer country for hunting, and there's a lot of guns in Idaho and Montana and Utah because we believe in the Second Amendment. But anyway, the Constitution Party is having a committee meeting on Friday the 7th. Saturday is an open venue with vendors and speakers and everything else. There's going to be a lot of us there. I'm going to be speaking regarding the media. The title of my talk is He Who Has the Media Makes the Rules. And there's going to be a lot of speakers there. Chuck Baldwin, Judge Roy Moore, Scott Bradley, Daryl Castle, Mary Sterrett. A bunch of us will be there speaking and meeting and greeting folks. So it should be a delightful event.
And folks who are familiar with this program will know that Chuck Baldwin has made several appearances on this show, as has Mary Sterrett, as has Daryl Castle, who actually lives here in Memphis and is an attorney. So if anyone is up there, I know we've promoted some of these other events well in advance, and we have only a week now before this one takes place. But if you are in or within driving distance of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, this is certainly going to be an event that you don't want to miss. In addition to those luminaries, obviously, Sam Bushman of Liberty News Radio, Liberty Roundtable, will be there, and that alone would be worth the price of admission. So, Sam, how long has this been in the works?
When first off, if people want tickets, they can go to constitutionparty.com. That's constitutionparty.com. Click on events, and you'll see the event there on October the 7th. I've known about it for quite a while. I interview a lot of the folks from the Constitution Party on my radio show. So I've been involved with it for quite a while.
And that is, again, coming up next week, Coeur d'Alene Constitution Party meeting. And we just rattled off the list of some of the folks that will be there and would be all too happy to meet and greet with you. Now, Sam, let's talk a little bit, and again, information there at constitutionparty.com.
Yeah, Jim Clymer joins me monthly on our program, so...
Well, and I wanted to talk about that. I'm glad you mentioned that you have many of these people on the show, because this was another reason that I wanted to ask you to come on. Of course, the Political Cesspool only airs on Saturday evening. You, on the other hand, my friend, are certainly a lifer at this. You're on Monday through Friday.
So yeah, 3 hours Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 Central Time, 8 to 11 Eastern. You know, the problem is radio gets in your blood and you're ruined forever, right?
It does. It does. I wish I had the means and the availability to do it as much as you, because God knows I certainly would. But what I'm trying to say is, folks, if you like the Political Cesspool, you only get us once a week. You need a fix of good talk radio that you can get on the internet or some of these affiliate stations that carry our show. Listen to Liberty Roundtable. Sam hosts it, if you're listening in Central Time, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, and you can get it at the very same link on the internet that plays our show this evening. So if you've got it bookmarked, just remember 7 to 10 live, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the Liberty Roundtable starring Sam Bushman. And Sam, give people a little example of the kind of daily bread they would be fed there.
It's hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. If it's constitutional, we love it. If it's not, we hate it.
And a lot of Ron Paul talk there.
Yes, sir. We do that on the radio. If you want to learn more, libertyroundtable.com can do that. And we talk a lot about what's happening in the media. You know, he who owns the media makes the rules. If you want to have your say in the media, you better own a piece of the media. It's that simple. The Republicans and Democrats understand it. That's why they have their pawns as talk show hosts in the media. You got the gay and lesbians that raise plenty of money and promote their agenda. For some strange reason, conservatives don't seem to put their money where their mouth is. And that's going to be the focus of my talk in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
And you are certainly well suited to give that talk, because unlike so many, you have taken it from theory to practice. You do own a piece of the media. You own an apparatus, a network, if you will, that is broadcasted to different AM affiliates across the country and indeed the internet. And you've certainly staked your claim here. How long have you been doing this, Sam?
I've been doing it almost 20 years. I started out with a buddy of mine, Kurt Crosby, and we basically listened to some great radio and decided we needed to get involved. So we paid somebody some money for radio time. And then, you know, they started calling the shots and not liking what we were doing. We're like, you know what? We're done with this. We went and found a radio station. I sold a house that I owned, bought the radio station. We ran that for 10 years. Now we're into national syndication, and we have several radio stations carrying your show and my shows and such like that. So it just kind of grows as we go. So we're going to tell our story in the talk more in detail there. But we also talk about some lessons we've learned along the way. For example, one, to be in the media takes lots. Did I say lots of money? Two, most people can't take the controversy. Three, the wrong kind of advertisers try to control what you say. If you don't do what they say, they drop you like a rock. Four, lots of friends and supporters helping fund the event make heavy loads light. So there's just a lot of things that you kind of learn being in the radio business, or, you know, the media business, where you just kind of gain an understanding that, you know what, I'm telling you, if you want to be able to have your point made, you better own a piece of the media, or simply, it will not get made. And one of the reasons that you're on the radio, one, you're good at it, but two, because I'm a fan of the show, though. Your points are well taken. You're fair and balanced. I know that's not what the mainstream press would say, but there's value to your content to say, Americans, think about what we're doing. Think how we're being led down the road with a nose ring. Don't let it happen. Listen to James.
You're beginning to get just a small taste of why Sam Bushman is such an inspiration to me, folks. Not only did he put his money where his mouth is, quite literally, he has done this for, as he mentioned, nearly 20 years. And he does it every day. Every day for 3 hours a day, and he's talking about many of the same points. And obviously, you know, we're obviously not carbon copies of one another, Sam. There's some variation between our two programs, but there is a lot of overlap too. And what I want to impress upon the listeners is that if you like the Political Cesspool on Saturdays, try to start making a mental note to tune in to the Liberty Roundtable with Sam Bushman Monday through Friday here on the network. And again, if you've got the link, if you're an internet listener and you're listening to us right now, that same link that you're listening to the Political Cesspool right now on, you can catch Sam Monday through Friday, 7 to 10.
Now, Central. Think about it, James. If we could get 1 million Americans together and they all put in $1 a day, do you realize we could have $365 million a year? No one would go broke. No one would give up more than, what, a quarter of what it takes to buy a hot cup of Java in the morning at Starbucks or whatever. $1 a day from 1 million Americans would raise $365 million a year. They wouldn't be able to ignore us, sir. It'd be impossible.
And it's almost impossible for them to ignore us now. Of course, Sam, you have won very prestigious awards for your work in talk radio, and both of our shows have gotten media attention over the years, to say the least. But, folks, I want you to support this man. He has certainly supported us, and you mentioned that he was kind enough to mention his assessment of our work. And I'm telling you, he's an instrumental part of what we do here. And I can remember the call. Sam and I were both part of another network before he decided to create his own back in 2008. And I can still remember, I can still really remember where I was. People, I'm not exaggerating this. I was visiting my parents. It was a rainy day. I was in the driveway when I got a call from one of Sam's coworkers, and they asked me, they said, listen, you know, we're starting this new network. We want the Political Cesspool to be a part of it. We had a handshake agreement, and 3 years later, we're still going strong, and I'm a better man for it.
And I also want to mention that we had the opportunity, our channel's on the Roku player. Long story short, if you want to learn about it, ROKU.com, you can watch TV and listen to us. But the reason I bring it up is they threatened to kick us off the Roku player. If we didn't drop James's show, we said kick us off.
That's the kind of guy that supports us. You need to support him as well. Check him out at LibertyRoundtable.com. LibertyRoundtable.com, Sam Bushman Show. We'll be back.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I want to thank again my friend, and I guess you could say owner, Sam Bushman, for coming on and sharing a little bit of news about his forthcoming talk in Idaho. And, of course, his great radio program. And I do want to say again, it would be a program that would be of interest to the listeners of the Political Cesspool. And, again, you can catch it Monday through Friday at LibertyRoundtable.com, 7 to 10. That way, I tell you, we got 6 of the 7 days covered, and on the 7th day we rest, just like the good Lord intended. So there you have it. I want to tell you now, folks, as we're waiting on Richard Spencer to call in, Going to tell you about Bass Pro Shop. Undoubtedly, most of the people listening to the show here have patronized Bass Pro Shops at one time or another, particularly the local audience here in Memphis. We have a Bass Pro Shop here in town, and not only that, they are talking about setting up, and they have been talking about for a number of years here in Memphis, setting up a Bass Pro Shop theme park at the abandoned Pyramid Arena downtown on the riverfront. Well, that'll be after Bass Pro Shop bows to the false gods of cultural Marxism, apparently. The story out of Houston, Texas, reads that the federal government, as of last week, has sued national outdoor retail chain Bass Pro Outdoor World, alleging racial discrimination in its hiring practices dating back to 2005. The Equal Opportunity Commission, a federal agency charged with enforcing anti-discrimination laws in employment, filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Houston on Wednesday. The lawsuit alleges that qualified African Americans and Hispanics were routinely denied positions at Bass Pro stores, and managers of stores in Houston, Louisiana, and other locations made derogatory racial comments acknowledging the practice. The commission also alleges that Bass Pro destroyed documents related to applications and internal discrimination complaints and retaliated against those who spoke up. A spokesman for the Springfield, Missouri-based Bass Pro Shop said the company has not yet reviewed the lawsuit. Color me skeptical, ladies and gentlemen. Color me skeptical. I would certainly like to see proof of these allegations. I have a hard time believing that any huge national chain like Bass Pro would dare not fill their affirmative action quotas. I have a hard time believing that all of these store managers are going around using apparently the N-word or some variation thereof. I don't buy it. And if you really want to talk about discrimination, you know, what is discrimination if not quotas and set-asides for minorities? You know, I have this crazy racist idea, equal opportunity for all, special privileges for none. Now, I know that is really old school, and it certainly, you know, runs afoul of the modern day dogma, but that's, you know, the James Edwards way. Okay, if Bass Pro, if there was an infinitely more qualified black job applicant, you know, and the other guy that was there for the job was just, you know, some sloppily dressed, you know, rube. Yeah, the black guy should get the job. Certainly. Why not? You know, we're not saying that. But I just have a hard time believing, a very hard time believing that this was the case. But I'll tell you, you know, Bass Pro is going to pay it. You know, they're going to pay the price, whether it was real or imagined. And how many times, why am I skeptical? How many dozens of times over the course of the last few years, and these are just the examples that we're bringing to light, have we seen these hoaxes and shakedowns? How many times? How many times have we seen, you know, some allegedly poor downtrodden minority who just completely fabricated or embellished a story or did something themselves that they blamed on a white person? And then, you know, the whole thing gets you know, tattered to shreds once an investigation is launched. Certainly, it's the rule rather than the exception. So I'm going to be interested to see proof that all of this discrimination was taking place at Bass Pro Shops. I just think that they're big enough to where they can be shaken down and really won't hurt them. And they've learned their lesson. But as the Council of Conservative Citizens, you know, they added some excellent commentary to this. The Equal Opportunity Commission is just another Orwellian police state arm of the federal government. They are unelected bureaucrats hired by the executive branch of the government. They enforce draconian diversity measures on companies through crippling lawsuits like this one, which violate, by the way, the nation's First Amendment rights. You should be able to hire who you want to hire. Now, like I said, if there's any discrimination in play, it's the fact that you have to hire a certain number of minorities, if you will, or else. The EOC, they sued Polo Ralph Lauren for millions of dollars for not using enough minorities in advertisements. You used to have freedom of association. You could choose who you wanted to work for you. They sued Abercrombie and Fitch for having too few minorities in their ads. Today, virtually every clothing company with a mostly white clientele uses a disproportionately large number of minorities in their ads. This is out of fear of being sued. Many place interracial couples in ads specifically out of fear of being sued by some group like the EEOC. Clothing companies with a mostly black clientele, however, still use mostly or all black models with impunity, which I say is fine. Let them if that's what they want to do. It's not hurting me in any way. It's not hurting them in any way to not be used. The constant financial shakedown and harassment of businesses is solely aimed at European Americans, and federal agencies' affirmative action hiring practices have given blacks double and triple their representation. I don't know if this is true, obviously, in the Northwest, in the Northeast, where it's not quite as quote-unquote diverse. You go to a post office in the South, you know, where's the diversity there? They're all black. Where's the diversity there? Why isn't the EEOC checking that out? Were there no, you know, qualified white applicants to run the cash register? Every time I go to the post office, I'm in line for 2 hours. You know, how efficient is that? But there you have it, folks. It's not about equal opportunity for all. It's about special privileges. It doesn't matter in a lot of these cases who the best applicants are or if they're better suited or more qualified for the position. You had better hire your government-mandated quota of diversities, or you'll pay the price that Bass Pro is going to pay. Now, I'll eat my words if it comes back that you know, some manager at Bass Pro was sitting there, you know, dropping the N-bomb left and right and just, you know, dismissing black candidates out of hand. Highly doubt that was the case. We will keep you posted, though, and if it was, I'll be man enough to tell you. I just don't think it is. I've been around the block one too many times with lawsuits like this, or, you know, been witness to them. Let's go to Gerald in Dallas. Been waiting patiently for me to get done screaming about the EEOC. Gerald, how's it going, partner?
James, it's going well. I'm glad to talk to you again. When I heard that you were going to have Richard Spencer on to talk about the NPI conference, I thought I would like to try and offer my perspective from the bottom up, because I know he'll give the perspective from the top down as the organizer.
Yeah, I should just mention, I guess, Gerald, since you already offered that Gerald was a participant, an attendee at this conference that we were all at in early September. I had a opportunity to share a nice drink with Gerald at the very posh Henley Park Hotel where we were all staying. And by all means, while we wait on Richard, give us your assessment, Gerald. I'd love to hear it.
All right. Let me start by just saying that we all owe Richard Spencer and his associates at NPI a big vote of thanks, because they did a fantastic job of getting this thing organized and making it happen. You know, after what happened to the American Renaissance conferences in 2010 and 2011, we really needed this. We really needed this conference to happen, and they made it happen, and it was a huge victory for us, and it was incredibly inspiring for a rank-and-file type person like me to actually be able to go to one of these and meet the leaders and the intellectuals and the activists of our movement, like you, James, and Richard Spencer, and Jared Taylor, and Alex Kurtajic, and all the other luminaries who were, you know, the speakers at this conference. For me, as a rank-and-file guy, the best thing about the conference was not necessarily the speeches and the formal presentations. It was just the opportunity to talk with you and the other leaders and the other rank-and-file people. And then the last thing that I wanted to say was... Oh, okay.
Well, we got a commercial break coming up, Gerald, but I want to offer you the opportunity to conclude your take on the NPI conference right after this. But I'll tell you this, Gerald. There is no such thing as rank and file, man. Being able to meet people like you there was the highlight of the thing for me, as I so often say. But we'll get back and revisit this, and I'll tell you why we're revisiting it right after these words from our sponsor. Stay tuned, everybody.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. People are probably wondering, yeah, James, I listened to your show when you were in Washington, D.C. We listened to you for 3 hours talk about the success of the conference. It was profound enough, though, ladies and gentlemen, that now, nearly a month later, I wanted to revisit it, if for no other reason, to re-impress upon you exactly how important it was. And on numerous occasions over the course of the last few weeks, we have posted the video of my presentation, as well as that of Richard Spencer's and Jared Taylor's, at the press conference there. We have written some commentaries reviewing the conference, and more videos from the event at the Ronald Reagan Building will be made available to you in the very near future. Richard Spencer was scheduled to call in tonight. He has not yet been able to make it. It's live radio, so we've got to keep rolling with the punches here. It's very unusual when a scheduled guest doesn't make it, but we do hope everything's fine with Richard. I reconfirmed the engagement yesterday, but we do have Gerald from Dallas. Gerald, how long have you been listening to the Political Cesspool?
I've only been listening to the cesspool since February of this year.
No kidding. So you're relatively a new listener in the grand scheme of things. But yet, when the two of us met there at the hotel, you know, it was an instant brotherhood. And I don't mean that to be mushy, but you know, there was that feeling of camaraderie there that was very tangible.
Well, let me tell you something about that, James. I walked into that hotel after a long flight from Dallas, and I didn't know what I was going to find. And I went to the bar and found you and Richard Spencer and Roger Devlin.
Right.
And several other writers and intellectuals and leaders in the movement ensconced in that alcove. And y'all had never even laid eyes on me before, but you greeted me like a long-lost brother. And, you know, within minutes, I was part of your conversation and the fellowship. And I can't tell you how much that meant to me. That was just one of the best feelings I've had in years. And I wish that I could share that with all the people who wanted to go but could not go for one reason or another to this conference, because they could have had that same experience.
Gerald, I felt that as well, as I just mentioned, and it meant every bit as much to me as it did to you or anyone else. And that's something that should be re-impressed, because there will be more conferences. NPI will do more conferences. Jared Taylor will do more conferences. And when these opportunities present themselves, folks, you know, we were just talking with Sam Bushman, going to be up in Idaho next week at the Constitution Party thing. Go to these meetings. Be around folks of like mind. It is very, very encouraging. Certainly recharges the batteries and gives you momentum as you head back home into the daily grind. But again, Gerald, and I can't say this enough, meeting you and so many others like you, certainly a highlight, and I won't forget it.
Well, it was a highlight for me, and the only thing that I wish could have happened, as I told you in that email, was I loved the radio show you did from there. I just wish you had had the technology to be able to get down into that lobby and interview all those young college students that were at this conference. You know, there were over 20 college students who were, all of them were articulate and enthusiastic and intelligent and just full of energy. And that would have been a great thing for you to have been able to talk to them on the radio. That, as it was a great radio show, but I hope someday you'll be able to do that at the next conference.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is something I should have considered doing or pitched to Richard, because that is something we've done in the past. I'm going to go ahead and extend to you the invitation, the formal invitation. I'll be going up in November to a Council of Conservative Citizens board meeting, a board of directors meeting. I'm on the board of that organization, as well as several others. And I'm proud to serve on all of them. But at that meeting, it will be decided where the 2012 National Council of Conservative Citizens Conference will be held. And for the past, well, two of the last 3 years anyway, we have done exactly what you just described. We have had a live broadcast. You being a listener as of February, you might not have heard these shows over the course of the last few years, but we've done these live broadcasts in the middle of the conference ballroom. 200 people, you know, cheering, listening, sitting around, fellowshipping, and we bring people in out of the crowd. I tell you, we've been able to do that twice. We didn't do it last year. because I had a at the last minute a family issue and I had to stay at home. But the previous 2 years we've done it. We're going to do it again the summer of 12. I hope you can be there, Gerald. Out of 1,000 radio shows I've done in the last 7 years, those were the best. Those were the two best, and it's because we were able to do that live. And I tell you, those were shows for the archives right there.
Well, I have downloaded those shows from the archives, and you're right, they were great, and they were certainly worth listening to anybody who hasn't yet heard them. And I just want to reemphasize how important your radio show is, not only week to week, but as a part of something like the NPI conference. I think it's a key element in making the event really get out to a whole lot of people who can't get there because of business and other commitments.
Well, and that's right, and that's what we aim to do, and that's one of the reasons we do it, and one of the reasons we will continue to do it whenever the situation presents itself and have had a little more wherewithal. I guess, you know, I was a little bit, just focusing on the event at hand, you know, being in Washington, the National Press Club, I should have thought to do a show there live, and that was my oversight. You can't do everything. But Gerald, listen, I appreciate you calling in, and I tell you, you were a great stand-in for Richard. I don't know anything Richard could have said that would have topped your commentary on the subject. It was great.
Well, before I hang up, could I give a shout out to the two other bloggers at your website, Courtney and Tony Soprano, and also Chicky Girl, who have all been making great comments on your blog for the last week or so?
You absolutely can, and in fact, you just did. And I appreciate you doing that, because that's, again, something that I say so often. Man, the real attraction of our website is not the articles or the short news blurbs that we put up. It's the commentary that ensues, and you just mentioned some of the regular readers that take the time to opine. And, of course, Gerald, you're one of them, too, and I appreciate you all. And, folks, if you're not commenting, you should be. Go to the website and join the discussion. We'd love to have you. And Gerald, always great to have you.
Well, I'm going to hang up now and listen to the rest of the program. So good night, James.
Good night, my friend from Dallas, Texas. I tell you, we've been hopscotching along the country tonight, from Chicago, Dallas, Utah, and Colorado. And, folks, are you catching the way that the average, and I say average, to be an average political cesspool listener would mean you'd be a well above average talk radio, you know, regular talk radio listener. But are you catching how well spoken, you know, these listeners are? What an awesome responsibility to serve as the radio voice for so many well informed and articulate gentlemen and ladies listening in tonight as well. Well, Eddie the Bombardier Miller went back into the green room. He kind of sticks his head in and sees if I'm ready for him. He's in there. I'm going to tell on him. He's watching. Alabama's playing somebody, and he wants to catch the score. We're going to have to chide Eddie a little bit for paying attention and caring about that, although, you know, I do the same thing from time to time. You know, I'm a man. I like sports. I hate everything that a lot of modern-day professional sports and college sports have become, the political correctness and all that good stuff, or all that bad stuff. But, you know, I still like the competition. So Eddie's in there checking it out. One thing I was going to ask Richard Spencer about, and like I said, it is so unusual that a scheduled guest doesn't call in that it raises a little bit of an alarm, especially with Richard, because he's such a common guest. He knows the routine, but American Juggalo, you got to check this out. American Juggalo, if you don't know, this was, again, featured at Richard's website, alternativeright.com. He has this ongoing series entitled So This Is How It Ends, which, again, chronicles instances of decadence so advanced that one could only conclude and hope that we're in a terminal stage of Western civilization. Richard introduced us to the American Juggalo phenomenon, and the video was so startling that I put it up at thepoliticalcesspool.org day before yesterday. No, I guess it was yesterday. It was Friday. Sure, Friday. American Juggalo. Well, what are they? This video is a look at the subculture of Juggalos, which is hardcore, insane clown posse fans who meet once a year for 4 days at the gathering of the Juggalos. And this documentary filmmaker went to the gathering of the Juggalos and let the Juggalos speak their minds. And I have to warn you, it's certainly not something that is suitable for the younger members of our listening audience. I don't typically post foul-mouthed content on my website. There is some graphic language and even some brief nudity in this video, but folks, this is the political cesspool, and we can't have blinders on to what's going on out there, some of the things that are afflicting our youth, and how some of this this mainstream media propaganda is just rotting their minds and their souls, the drug culture. Kevin Slaughter, who was a photographer at this NPI conference, he was there. He took all the pictures at the National Press Club that the National Policy Institute used. Took some great pictures of me. He summed it up perfectly by writing, "There are too many things that one could say about the video, but what's the use? Believe it or not, there's not enough time left in this hour to talk about what the video shows. I encourage you to check it out. Look at it yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. American Juggalo. Leave your comments. As Gerald said, you'll enjoy the conversation. Leave your comments. Let us know what you think. Folks, we need, if you can, it's a shame to see all these people go to waste. A lot of bad things going on out there. We'll be back with a third hour right after this.